where there are some three stars. In fact, the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Vernon Clark, had his office in that area, but I do understand that Admiral Clark himself is okay. But there were a number of other three-star Navy officers who had offices in that area. Below the Navy, the Army and the Air Force also had offices in there. We haven't had any word yet on casualties. As you can imagine, just total chaos here in terms of communication.
NPR's Tom Jelton at the Pentagon. Morning Edition commentator Craig Childs is in New York, where he's been talking to witnesses about events this morning. The World Trade Center towers collapsing following being hit by airplanes, both towers. Craig?
Yes.
What have you heard this morning?
Well, I've just been on the street, standing there, arrived probably a couple minutes after the planes hit, and listening to people's responses and then seeing them as the buildings actually exploded. And just the sense of outrage and emotion that's showing up. One man passed me just shouting, "We need to bomb them now, and I need to kill somebody." And that combined with with another person next to me saying, "My sister didn't go to work this morning. If she had gone to work, she would have died."
Craig, pardon me, we're going to go to Greg Schiappelli, who's director of the Somerset County Hospital in Pennsylvania. Mr. Schiappelli?
Yes.
You've had a plane crash in your area this morning.
We've had a plane crash in a small rural area just north of Somerset. It was supposedly in a strip mine area. We have many strip mines in Somerset County. At this point, they are combing the area for what we hope are survivors. Details are still sketchy on it. It was near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, which is near another area called Indian Lake, which they tell me is where the plane actually went down at. Details at this point are very sketchy.
Now, obviously we're wondering if this crash has any connection to the other three plane crashes of this morning.
There's a lot of speculation, but we have no idea at this point whether the crash is connected at all.
This was a 747 jumbo jet.
Well, reports are that it's a 767 or 747. We're not exactly sure about that yet either. But the initial reports we have are 767. That again, reports are still sketchy.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
NPR's Don Gagne is near the White House. Don?
Yes, Bob. We're waiting for information here. They have evacuated the White House along with just about every other government building today. The evacuation word came at 9:41 this morning. Everyone, staff, reporters, was moved out first into Lafayette Park, then across Lafayette Park. We have more and more police tape going up as they continue to widen the security perimeter around the White House. It is quiet here now outside of the police tape. It's a pretty good crowd of people, a lot of reporters, some White House staff, and some people from the area who are just watching to see what's going on. We're not getting any information from the White House on what the president's plans are. He was, of course, in Florida this morning, reading to elementary school students. When he got word of this, he made just a brief statement that you've described as he took off, and he's in the air, but we don't know where he goes or what the White House, the administration's plans are from here.
Well, that was my next question. If the White House has been evacuated and they're worried about possible terrorist action, maybe they don't want him at the White House.
Exactly. I mean, there is clearly very high security here, and while they're not telling us what they have done or if they've even had any specific threats here, they have to be concerned about that, and they're not giving us any information as to what their plans are once he lands, even where or when he will land.
There are good communication facilities on Air Force One. They may want to keep him there. Do they still have the alternative White House in the Blue Ridge Mountains?
Well, that I'm not aware of. I haven't heard mention of that today. But they do have plans for attacks such as this, for situations such as this. But again, we're not hearing anything as to what they plan on doing and where he will go and how he will monitor the situation.
I suspect you won't either. Thank you.
Exactly. But it is still clearly a very, very live situation. There are still sirens here. Police are absolutely on high alert. Park police, their white shirts are standing just across the street from me. They have machine guns and the kind of weapons that we don't usually see these officers carrying, and everyone is just watching and waiting, and it's not clear how long we'll be in this sort of a situation.
NPR's Don Gagne near the White House. Peter Overby is on Capitol Hill. Peter?
Hi, Bob.
What do you know?
Well, there are a few senators who are still on the ground here. The Capitol has been evacuated. The senators have told their staffs to go home. In fact, it's rather calm here. It's a stunned calm, a lot of police sirens in the background, but no real activity around here. The senators, don't know what to make of it the same way the rest of us don't. There's concern expressed about what happened in the intelligence community. People aren't pointing fingers by any means, but they are wondering, how could this have happened? Senator Hagel, Chuck Hagel of Nebraska, Republican, one of the Senate's experts on military affairs, his take on it is, this country has been changed forevermore. This is the second Pearl Harbor. It's that serious. And Senator Joseph Biden, Democrat from Delaware, chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, kind of took the other tack. He said he's obviously concerned about this, but he says, that he thinks would be a serious mistake to fundamentally alter the way we do business as a nation because of what's happened today.
NPR's Peter Overby, thank you very much. Jackie Leiden, still standing by in New York City?
Yes.
You're still in Brooklyn?
I am. I'm preparing to leave by bicycle to go into Manhattan because that is the only way to go. You know, one wonders that even a feeling of something like this in your voice or heart, because, you know, all morning I have been able to see the smoke colors change over where the World Trade Center used to be. There is not a feeling of panic in New York City. There is not a feeling of civil chaos, but there certainly is a feeling of confusion and what to do next. The streets are all gridlocked. The bridges are closed to all the pedestrian or bicycle traffic. And the whereabouts of the mayor and the chief of police are at this moment uncertain. The Department of Health has done what it can to assure people that things are running smoothly. But the great irony here is that the command and control center, the emergency crisis center set up by the city of New York, was in the World Trade Center. So although we've had a statement from Governor Pataki condemning this in terms of information here in the city, a communication crisis. Mobile phones not working. Anyone without cable television cannot get a television picture of what's happening. And so while New York City is not panicking, it certainly is in a state of confusion, Bob.
Martin Costi.
Bob, I'm monitoring news coming in from around the world and around the country as people react to these attacks. First of all, in Europe, as may be expected, transportation is becoming more chaotic as flights are canceled or rerouted, especially flights going to the United States, as has been reported all morning. General aviation has been grounded in the U.S. Incoming flights from Europe are being rerouted to Canada, but Canada is also closing its airports or shutting down its aviation, but it's accepting those incoming flights from overseas that were heading to the United States. There's this item of coming out of Pakistan. The ambassador of the Taliban movement there has called a news conference for tonight, but it has not been said whether this has anything to do with the incidents this morning here in the United States. But there's substantial interest in what he may have to say. In Switzerland, Alan Greenspan, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, is overseas. The Federal Reserve is very secretive about his about his whereabouts for security reasons, but they say he is well. He is well protected. Markets are closed in the United States. SEC says it will reopen them when they say it is practical to open them. to reopen them, but for now, no U.S. markets are open. However, some stock markets around the world have dropped sharply, probably in reaction to the incidents in the United States. Specifically, Israel and Poland have seen sharp stock market drops. Around the country, many landmarks are being closed or evacuated, such as the Sears Tower in Chicago, the John Hancock Building. Some federal buildings, but not... does not look like many are closing around the country. In some border crossing areas, such as Detroit, security is being stepped up at the border, but the borders are still open. Of course, again, overseas, Secretary of State Colin Powell is coming home from, he's cutting short a visit to the Andean region. He was visiting Peru and Colombia in support of the administration's policies there. And he will be cutting that short and heading home. So that's the reaction so far around the world.
NPR's Martin Costi, thank you very much. Barbara Bradley is at the FBI. Barbara?
Hi, Bob. I'm afraid I don't have a whole lot to tell you. A spokesman came out just a few minutes ago and gave us a very short statement. The first point is that they've dispatched investigative teams to each of the sites. The second is that their number one priority is the safety of the injured and wounded. They wouldn't say how many people they think are injured or wounded. And the third is just that they're cooperating with other agencies. So I'm afraid we don't have a whole lot of information here at the FBI. They've evacuated the Justice Department. We can't get in there. There are apparently a few people in the FBI. But we can't get, we can't go in there to get any more information.
Barbara Bradley at the FBI, thank you. John McChesney is at the Pentagon. John?
I'm standing, Bob, right in front of the Pentagon where the aircraft hit. I've been drafted as a litter bearer. There are firefighters that have knocked a lot of the fire down, although flames are still pouring from some of the windows. And there are a bunch of volunteer teams here who are organized around litter bearing, and we're about to be drafted to go in and pick up injured, which there must be many, given the size of the devastation here. There is about a 75-foot hole in the wall here where the wall has collapsed, and the fire looks to be pretty well knocked down at this point, although there's still a lot of smoke pouring from the building. We've been asked to pull back twice because of reports of incoming aircraft, which fortunately never materialized. That's about it from here right now.
Thank you, John. That's John McChesney at the Pentagon. NPR's John Burnett joins me now from Texas. John, where are you?
Hi, Bob. I'm in Austin. I'm monitoring the American Airlines headquarters in Fort Worth.
American Airlines said it lost two planes today.
That's right. They just released a statement briefly a few minutes ago, and they confirmed that it has lost two aircraft this morning. One was Flight 11, a Boeing 767 that was en route from Boston to Los Angeles with 81 passengers, 9 flight attendants, and the 2 pilots. And also Flight 77, which was a Boeing 757 operating from Washington Dulles to Los Angeles. It had 58 passengers, 4 flight attendants, and 2 pilots. The chairman of CEO of American Airlines, Donald Carty, said, "We're horrified by these tragic events, and our thoughts and prayers go out to the families of all involved."
Now, when they say they've lost 2 aircraft, what are they saying?
Well, they're not saying anything else. They're literally not saying anything else, and that all information beyond that must come from the FBI. And so they're not saying who might have hijacked it. They're not saying whether those planes were those that went into the World Trade Center or the Pentagon. That's literally all we have right now.
Thank you, John. And just a note, United Airlines confirms that a flight from Newark, New Jersey to San Francisco crash near Pittsburgh. That would have been the Somerset County crash we referred to earlier. whether or not it's related to these other tragedies is unknown, but all aircraft flights in the United States have been suspended now. You did not have to go far in Washington, D.C. to get a sense of the confusion and fear that permeates the air here. Just outside of National Public Radio, on 6th and Massachusetts here in Washington, people were being herded away from a van parked in the middle of the street, and rumors about what was in that van were flying, and nearby government workers told to evacuate their buildings were trying to figure out how to leave the city.
I'm scared. I'm frightened, really. This is, I mean, it's horrible. I've never been in nothing like this before.
How'd you hear about it? When did you find out about it?
On news, on the TV at work, someone was listening to the radio. Then they went into the little conference room and turned on TV, and we saw the World Trade Center bomb. Next thing I know, they say a building behind the Capitol. Then it's in the Pentagon, and oh my God, that's too close for comfort.
I think it's horrible. I think it's just awful. I think it's horrible. I think we have to pray and really pray for America. It's really bad. It's a bad situation. My heart goes out to those people in New York. Just awful. I just can't imagine being in that building.
Did you ever think it was going to hit this close to home?
I never did.
Did you ever imagine it?
No. This is something you see on TV. You would never think that it would actually happen here. No.
These are government workers on the streets of Washington, D.C. this morning, and they were talking to NPR's Lynn Neary. Don Gagne, our White House correspondent, is near the White House. Don?
All of this happened, Bob, while the president was in Florida at an event promoting education reforms. He was actually reading to children when his chief of staff, Andrew Card, whispered into his ear the first word of the World Trade Center crashes. He made a brief statement. He is now, he's left Florida. He's in Air Force One, and we have received no other official word from anyone at the White House about his whereabouts, about exactly what is going on here at the White House. I can tell you that we were evacuated, all the press, all the staff, anybody who works in the White House, groundskeepers and the like, were all sent out off the grounds at 9:41 a.m., sent into First Lafayette Park, which is right across the street. And then Park Police urgently moved us off to H Street, which is a full block away across from the front of the White House. And this is where we stand right now. It is as quiet as it has been all morning. Streets are closed off around here. There was a bit of gridlock in this area as recently as 5 or 10 minutes ago. But it, too, has cleared off, no doubt because of streets that have been closed off feeding into this area. But the Park Police are standing guard, some with machine guns. Here comes a black limousine of some kind right now with a siren pulling up, going through the police tape that's set up. And it goes past, was not the kind of car that we see dignitaries visiting the White House traveling in. Anyway, we wait. We have no word yet on what the president is doing, will do, where he will go, and that's the situation outside the White House.
Don Gagne, thank you very much. Tom Jelton is near the Pentagon. Tom?
Yeah, Bob. I'm outside the Pentagon, where an aircraft crashed directly into the side of the Pentagon about 2 hours ago. Still a lot of rescue activity going on here now, but clearly the threat of more attacks has receded, so the emphasis has shifted now to rescue. There's the Red Cross helicopter just landing in front of the Pentagon here now. A number of ambulances. I can see a couple of dozen ambulances here, but they're not able to get close enough. They're not able to get inside the building to actually rescue people. There's still flames from the. I can see flames in several of the windows at the Pentagon. So still have a major mess here.
NPR's Tom Jelton at the Pentagon. The building has been hit by a plane this morning. That is Tom's assignment. He covers the Pentagon for us. We're going to New York now to Jim Zaroli. Jim?
Hi. Well, New York City is a scene of utter chaos and confusion right now. It is just a tragic and very upsetting situation. The city is in full terrorism alert. Now, what that means is they basically shut down all of the bridges and tunnels leading into the city. They've evacuated the United Nations, the New York Stock Exchange. They have sealed off bridges. They have basically, Mayor Giuliani was interviewed a little while ago and is saying that he wants everybody below Canal Street, which is the whole southern part of Manhattan, to leave the area if they work or live there, to leave and not to go in there. He says he says it's not really clear yet how many lives have been lost, but he said, I have a sense it's a horrendous number of lives lost. So this is really just a very chaotic situation right now.
Jim, thank you. Don Gagne near the White House.
For information here, there is a security perimeter several blocks wide around each side of the White House. It was evacuated at 9:41 this morning. Everyone out. The president is has left Florida.
We interrupt this program to bring you the following special report from the KPCC newsroom.
It's 8 minutes before 9 o'clock. I'm Steve Julian. You've been listening to live coverage of the terrorist attacks in New York City and Washington, D.C. to bring you up to date. At 5:48 this morning, the first of two jet airliners crashed into the World Trade Center towers in New York City. We have confirmation that one of the flights that hit the World Trade Center towers was American Flight 11, a 767 flying out of Boston toward Los Angeles, apparently was hijacked. Passengers and crew total 92. It crashed into one of the two Trade Center towers this morning at about 12 minutes before 6 o'clock Pacific time. Then about 18 minutes later, a Boeing 757 and American Flight 77 out of Dulles crashed into the second World Trade Center tower in New York City. Americans saying that 64 people were on board that plane, including crew, totaling 156 who were on board the two planes. Not long after that, there was a crash of United Flight 93 out of Newark toward San Francisco. United has confirmed that this plane went down in western Pennsylvania, rural Somerset County. And a fourth plane apparently crashed this morning into the Pentagon. This is unconfirmed. It could be the United Flight 175 out of Boston heading toward Los Angeles. We are confirming all the information as it comes available to us through Associated Press and other sources. President Bush is heading back toward Washington, though we don't know where he will land. Now, CNN is reporting that the Centers for Disease Control is preparing its bioterrorism teams just in case they are needed. Federal buildings throughout the U.S. have been shut down. Airports are closed. There will be no flights leaving or arriving at any U.S. airport until further notice. That includes all flights out of Los Angeles International Airport. That airport is closed. Planes that were heading toward LAX that were domestic flights are being diverted to Ontario Airport here in Southern California. All international flights heading toward LAX are diverted into Canada this morning. Again, the two American flights were Flight 11, this one en route from Boston to L.A. with 81 passengers and 11 crew, and American Flight 77 out of Washington Dulles to LAX with 58 passengers and 6 crew. These two planes have been confirmed to have crashed this morning, apparently the result of hijacking and terrorist accounts. We do not have confirmation on who has claimed responsibility for these attacks, but in all so far this morning, we have heard of four as many as five plane crashes, but two into the World Trade Center towers, one into the Pentagon, one in western Pennsylvania in rural Somerset County, and unconfirmed reports that a fifth plane crashed near Camp David. Locally, Los Angeles Police Department is on tactical alert this morning, its anti-terrorist division up to full strength, of course. Governor Gray Davis has ordered heightened security at all state buildings, many of which have been shut down. In Los Angeles, City Hall has been closed. The tall library building in Los Angeles, the tallest in the city, has been shut down. Many other buildings are being closed as well this morning as precautionary measures in Southern California. Police are at Los Angeles International Airport this morning in fairly high numbers, checking for any unattended vehicles near the terminals. KPCC's Rachel Miro was there reporting about a half hour ago, saying that all flights out of Los Angeles International have been shut down, and there are passengers waiting for flights who are turning around, hailing taxis, looking for other ways out of the airport. And Caltech and the Jet Propulsion Lab have evacuated their buildings and shut down for the day, not because of threats, they say, but because of a federal facility closure nationwide. Now, the 4th District Special Election is on. It polls open at 7 o'clock this morning. They close at 8 o'clock this evening. This is the election to replace the late John Ferraro on the L.A. City Council seat for the district that includes Hollywood, Hancock Park, Studio City, Toluca Lake, Los Feliz. That election will continue. No indication that they will close polls today, so that election is still on. The Los Angeles County Fair is open today as well. LAUSD schools are open on regular schedule. However, all extracurricular activities for the day have been canceled for students of the Los Angeles Unified School District. You're listening to coverage of terrorist attacks on 89.3 KPCC Pasadena, Southern California Public Radio. National Public Radio will continue round-the-clock coverage until further notice, at least until early tomorrow morning. Neil Conan taking over the desk at 9 o'clock. We will have live updates for you for any local news that occurs as it happens throughout the day. And, of course, Linda Wertheimer, Robert Siegel, Noah Adams this afternoon on All Things Considered will devote the entire program to the plane crashes this morning, the hijacking of these jets that were taken down, two into the World Trade Center in New York City, one into the Pentagon, one about 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and possibly a fifth plane that crashed near Camp David. Los Angeles International Airport, Ontario Airport, all of these airports are closed to outbound traffic, as are airports throughout the country. Air travel is closed completely today until further notice. Rachel Myra reporting that there was at least a 78-hour closure at LAX as of about 7 o'clock this morning. All flights that were heading into LAX have been diverted. International flights were diverted into Canada. And domestic flights heading toward L.A. were diverted to Ontario Airport, about 60 miles east of Los Angeles. This is 89.3 KPCC. I'm Steve Julian. We will continue with National Public Radio coverage on these terrorism attacks. And again, repeating that the Centers for Disease Control has put into preparation its bioterrorism teams just in case they are needed. Local federal buildings and state buildings are either closed or on heightened alert here in Southern California. The 4th District election to replace the late John Ferraro on the Los Angeles City Council, that election continues. Polls opened at 7 this morning, will continue open until 8 o'clock. The MTA says that its bus and rail service will run on its normal weekday schedule until further notice. And to reiterate, the two American Airlines flights that we know went down this morning were Flight 11 en route from Boston to Los Angeles International with 81 passengers and 11 crew, and Flight 77 out of Washington Dulles to L.A. It was carrying 58 passengers and 6 crew. The attacks at the World Trade Center occurring at about 5:48 Pacific time and then about 18 minutes later. Both buildings are all but gone. There were 110 stories. 50,000 people work in the two buildings each weekday. There is no count yet as to how many people have died in all of these accidents and so forth. We will keep you updated throughout the day from National Public Radio. It's coming up to 9 o'clock. What would be Air Talk on KPCC, Larry Mantle in studio with me, and we'll continue with NPR coverage as well.
That's right, Steve. I'll be with you throughout the morning. We'll be carrying NPR's coverage with Neil Conan anchoring and continuing to update you on any local developments. A number of businesses in the downtown Los Angeles area as well as West LA area are reporting they are closing for the day. That's on a business-by-business basis, of course. You'll need to check with your employer, and we'll keep you updated on any other public facilities taking any action today in the wake of the attacks in New York and Washington, D.C., as well as the crashes that have occurred at Camp David, Maryland, and outside Pittsburgh. So we will be continuing with our coverage throughout the course of the day. We do not have any word on any of the passengers actually on those planes. The two that were headed for Los Angeles, the plane that was headed for San Francisco. As soon as we have any word of those who were on those flights, we will let you know about those. Let's join National Public Radio's coverage with Neil Conan.
I'm Corva Coleman. There have been several apparent terrorist attacks on the eastern coast of the United States. Two large airplanes crashed into both of the World Trade Center towers. These occurred 18 minutes apart. Later, both towers collapsed. A short time later, a large plane crashed into the Pentagon. A fourth plane belonging to United Airlines was hijacked. It crashed in western Pennsylvania outside Pittsburgh. The nation's air traffic is completely shut down. All planes have been ordered to land at the nearest airport. NPR's John Nielsen is tracking the story and is with us now. John?
At about 9 a.m. Eastern time this morning, a commercial jetliner crashed into one of New York's twin towers in the city's financial district. The plane was apparently a hijacked American Airlines jet that had been on its way to Los Angeles from Boston. A second plane, also apparently hijacked, crashed into the second tower about 18 minutes later. It was also an American Airlines flight, apparently, en route to Los Angeles from the Dulles Airport in the Washington, D.C. area. The crashes opened huge holes in the sides of the towers as thousands of people were beginning their workdays inside. Wreckage and debris showered into the streets below. One witness compared it to a volcanic eruption. Authorities were trying to evacuate the buildings when they eventually collapsed. Rescue operations are continuing. It's not clear how many people were inside the buildings or how many were killed or injured or how many have been trapped in the wreckage. New York Mayor Rudolph Giuliani says he fears the death toll will be horrific. The World Trade Center was attacked once before in 1993. Six people were wounded that time. Six people were killed that time, and 1,000 people were injured. Six Islamic militants were convicted in that bombing and sentenced to life in prison. John Nielsen, NPR News, Washington.
Officials in Iraq say they have shot down a U.S. spy plane. If confirmed, this would be the second shootdown in less than 1 month. A U.S. military spokesman in the Persian Gulf says that an unmanned plane is missing and it's being investigated. The Iraqi state-run media says the plane was shot down this morning near the southern city of Basra. The Iraqi news agency says the plane wreckage involving highly advanced equipment is now being collected. The U.S. Federal Reserve said today, in the wake of a series of devastating attacks on U.S. landmarks, that it is open and operating. A spokesman for the U.S. Federal Reserve says that the agency's discount window will provide liquidity to financial markets as they are needed. Fed spokesman David Skidmore read a short statement on a conference call with reporters a short time ago. He gave no further details. U.S. financial markets are all closed for the day. This is NPR News.
And you're listening to continuous live coverage of the tragedies unfolding in New York City. In Washington, D.C., a total of five jets apparently have crashed today. Two of them into each tower of the World Trade Center in New York, one into the side of the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. Another jet has gone down at Camp David in Maryland, and one outside of Pittsburgh in a rural area there, not too far from Pittsburgh Airport. We're joined by Rachel Miro, who is at Los Angeles International Airport. Rachel, what's happening there?
Well, they've just closed the doors and turned out the lights at the American arrivals counter. And I understand that approach roads to LAX now read LAX closed. It's a ghost town down here. If you were wondering when you would ever see free parking at LAX, today is it.
Rachel, has there been any word from any official at the airport as to anything beyond this being a sensible precaution? Has there been any word of any threats against the airport here in Los Angeles?
There have been no official pronouncements from American Airlines officials here. In fact, it seems that there's a kind of round robin of information between press people here and folks behind the counter. There's no word yet on the two flights involving Los Angeles passengers, possibly. Nothing in the way of passenger lists. No information yet. We're just kind of cooling our heels and waiting to see what happens as information develops.
Now, they have not removed all members of news media from the airport. That's somewhat surprising.
I suppose so, although I understand the TV guys are worried about their trucks being cleared off.
Okay.
And there are still passengers who are trying to make arrangements as to where they're going to go, and they're here and downstairs at the departures terminal looking for taxis and super shuttles.
We have just about 20 seconds here, but what's the mood of passengers? Are people keeping their cool?
Yes, very much so. I think they're stunned. They're in a state of shock, and a lot of people are taking up smoking again and thinking about, you know, trying to figure out what's going on.
Rachel Miro, thank you. We'll keep in touch with you throughout the course of the day at Los Angeles International Airport. We've just received word both Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm have been closed today. Governor Gray Davis ordering all state buildings to close and all non-essential state employees to go home after the dual disasters. We continue with NPR's coverage.
News and updates as they become available throughout this afternoon. There is a great deal we do not know at this point, but obviously this Tuesday, September 9th, will be remembered along with Pearl Harbor and Oklahoma City. Here are a few eyewitness accounts of the horror in New York City this morning.
I was sitting in my breakfast table when I heard this loud explosion. I ran downstairs and I saw smoke billowing out of the World Trade Center, and then just moments later another hit, and I live close to a mile away from the Trade Center, and you could feel the heat. You could feel the heat right where I was standing, at least a mile away. It was unbelievable.
I was on my way to work across the Brooklyn Bridge, and I was about a third of the way across heading to Manhattan when I saw a plane. And they're never on this approach on the East River because I walk it every day. And it was coming in over the Manhattan Bridge towards Lower Manhattan, and it banked very slightly towards Brooklyn, which told me that there was something wrong. And I thought it was going to crash, and then all of a sudden it swung over as if it was going towards Newark Airport, and hit the World Trade Center dead on.
Our building is a block east of the Trade Towers, and I did see the explosions, and I worried about whether or not we should evacuate, but we thought not to because the street was so bad, and some part of the structure collapsed, and it's not on fire, but our whole apartment and the whole building is full of smoke. And we can't get out the front door because there's so much smoke debris there that we're told that it's not fire. The streets right now are completely empty. So we've wet a bunch of towels. We've just wet a bunch of towels. I've just put my cat in a carrier. Cars are covered with dust. My whole apartment is covered with dust. So it looks like, though, that I don't think fire is going to be our problem. So that's all.
In New York City, witnesses of today's crashes into the World Trade Center. New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani has already given voice to the fear that all of us knew from the first moment that these incidents began. Casualties are apparently massive. NPR's Peter Kenyon joins me here in Studio 3A. Peter, welcome.
Hi, Neil.
What can you tell us? What's the latest?
Well, as you said, the thing that everybody wants to know and which we do not have any firm numbers on is how many people are hurt and possibly killed. There is one police official in New York who said that the casualties could be in the thousands. We do know that some of the people were evacuated between the time that the planes crashed into the towers and the times when they collapsed. We have no idea how many. We do know that approximately 50,000 people work in those two towers on an average working day. So the reports of casualties are sketchy. The airlines are saying that they have lost two planes each, American and United. The American statement said that 164 people were on the two planes that they lost. And United lost one, and they are very worried about another one that was en route, I believe, across the country. The fourth flight, there was two in the World Trade Center, there's one in the Pentagon, and one near Pittsburgh. We're not sure if the one near Pittsburgh is related to the other two, and there's another plane that they are very concerned about, that's United Airlines.
So if we can speculate a little bit at this point, it does seem that this was a coordinated attempt to hijack at least four aircraft and crash them into buildings.
It has all the earmarks of an organized terrorist attack. President Bush immediately called it an apparent terrorist attack, and he ordered a nationwide investigation to, quote, hunt down the folks who committed this act. There have been no claims of responsibility except one anonymous claim from a Palestinian group, and a senior official with that same group quickly denied it. Terrorism experts have also talked about people who have committed terrorist acts in the past, such as Osama bin Laden. But the Taliban in Afghanistan now is saying that they condemn this attack and they don't believe that Osama bin Laden was involved. So we really have no solid information on responsibility. But clearly this was some kind of organized attack. It doesn't appear to could possibly have been an accident.
Tell us what you know about the incident at the Pentagon. This was the third plane that crashed, obviously, into the United States Military Command Center.
It crashed right into at first report was a helicopter pad, and then there were also reports of a direct hit on the Pentagon, a gaping hole. Witnesses, our reporters and others, saw a huge hole and an orange fireball going up in one side of that five-sided structure. Of course, much of the key nerve center material is underground in the Pentagon, but still, it's a huge direct hit on the center of the U.S. defense establishment. The Pentagon was evacuated, so was the Capitol, the Treasury building, the State Department. There was a report of a car bomb outside the State Department. Officials were clearly scrambling to respond to an attack that appeared to come with no warning whatsoever.
And all across the country, there are security alerts at buildings from the Sears Tower in Chicago. Yankee That's Stadium right. has already been evacuated, and the game scheduled for today has been canceled.
Starting in New York, the New York Stock Exchange is closed down. The United Nations has been evacuated. Mayor Giuliani is basically asking people to just clear out of the lower end of Manhattan. They canceled the Democratic primary, the mayoral elections there Tuesday. The whole state of California is on alert. There's an emergency cabinet meeting there. As you mentioned, the Sears Tower in Chicago has been evacuated. Colorado is setting up emergency response centers. It's just one aviation expert has called this now what he said is the most audacious terrorist attack that's ever taken place in the world.
We continue with local coverage of the activities here in the greater Los Angeles and California area. I'm Larry Mantle. We'll continue with NPR's coverage momentarily. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department is indicating that Los Angeles International Airport is open for the pickup of passengers who have been stranded because of the closing of the airport. In other words, no flights are departing or arriving because of the FAA order earlier this morning grounding all aircraft in the United States. But Los Angeles International Airport is open, we understand, and ground transit operations are continuing at the airport. However, as Rachel Miro told you a few minutes ago, you will see signs off the freeway, the San Diego freeway, that the airport is closed. However, we do have word that cars are being allowed in to pick up stranded passengers only. Others should stay away from the airport. Please do not go to Los Angeles International Airport unless you need to pick up someone who was stranded at the airport. Now, a short time ago, L.A. Police Chief Bernard Parks told reporters that the department's personnel from the anti-terrorist division are being deployed to local sites throughout the city that could be potential targets of terrorism. The chief did not elaborate on that, but the chief said he is not aware of any local terrorist threats. Those are the words of Police Chief Bernard Parks. However, the anti-terrorism task force officers are being deployed to sites throughout the city of Los Angeles they believe may be vulnerable. We also have word from the Orange County Sheriff's Department. They are in a full tactical alert mode, just like the Los Angeles Police Department and the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. So the major law enforcement agencies here in Southern California are on a tactical alert. One assumes part of that is that all manpower are being made available in case of any terrorist activity here in Los Angeles. But again, we have had no word of any threats that have been made against any sites in the greater Los Angeles, Orange County areas. We will continue to update you on any activities involving closures. As I mentioned, both Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm are closed today. UCLA is still in its summer session. All classes are on as scheduled. It appears the classes here at Pasadena City College are on today. It appears that students are going about their business normally here on this campus. We have had no word of any educational institutions or any school closures. Los Angeles Unified Schools are open today. However, all extracurricular activities have been canceled. We have just received word that the Latin Grammy Awards, scheduled for tonight at the Forum, have been postponed. The awards will not be taking place as scheduled tonight. So if you were going to be making your way to the Forum tonight, do not bother leaving your house. The event has been postponed. American Airlines has offered a toll-free phone number for anyone who has relatives on the two jets involved in today's terrorist attacks. You can call 1-800-245-0999. That number again, 1-800-245-0999. 9-9. That's for American Airlines. If you have any relatives, any friends, people that you would like to check on who you believe might have been aboard those two American Airline jets that crashed, you can call that number, 800-245-0999. We'll continue to update you on any further information that we get here in the Golden State. Gray Davis has requested heightened security at all state buildings, the governor putting the state on a high alert. The state's emergency council has convened, and all state office buildings are being closed. So that is our latest for the state of California and emergency preparations. We're anticipating a news conference from the Los Angeles Emergency Operations Center sometime around 10 o'clock. But we don't have definitive word on when that news conference will be held. We will let you know just as soon as it is available. Our Frank Stoltz is headed to the location of that news conference so that we can update you on any plans that are being made here for Los Angeles. But again, nothing to be overly alarmed about for Los Angeles at this point. No word of any threats. The evacuations and the shutdowns that are taking place on a business-by-business basis, some are choosing to close their doors today. State buildings closed. All federal facilities along the West Coast as well as across the country are being closed. That means the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, Caltech, is closed today. That is one educational institution closed. I erred when I said we had no word of any. Caltech is closed today. And we will keep you updated as any further developments come our way. You're listening to live and continuous coverage from both National Public Radio and KPCC on today's disasters in New York City, Washington, D.C. We await continuing coverage and information on both of those cities as well as precautions here in Greater Los Angeles and Orange Counties. We continue with NPR on 89.3 KPCC.
And all sorts of ancillary personnel coming up and down the street. Some sort of relative calm has returned to at least this part of the neighborhood.
There is going to be a gigantic hole in the skyline next you look where the World Trade Center used to be.
It's impossible to imagine. I'm a native New Yorker. I've lived here all my life. I've seen the skyline interrupted by construction. I have never seen it interrupted by destruction.
You mentioned the cinematic aspect, and I guess to some degree that's how we see these unreal events in our lives. But we went through a progression on this day when the first accident, well, you think of the plane that crashed into the Empire State Building in 1947, an Army B-25 bomber in a dense fog crashed into the Empire State Building. You think of the Hindenburg disaster. As these things began to mount, what were you seeing?
Well, what I was seeing was certainly the first thing that flashed through your mind was that, again, it was a terrorist attack, because I suppose the World Trade Center just immediately brings that to mind. After the first explosion, as you say, and as I said before, it did seem like it could have been staged. After the second one, it turned into Day of the Locust to the nth power. It was mass terror like I have never seen in my life. People flying in every direction, people crying, people yelling. Utter chaos. Absolute utter chaos. I will say that within a very short period of time, this chaos seemed to be supplanted by a kind of organized, determined effort by people to get out of the area. And I say organized and determined because there just didn't seem to be any sort of, selfishness involved. People were helping other people. People were wheeling other people. People were holding other people, you know, holding hands and running, leading people to the right places, allowing people into their homes, into their doorways, into their vestibules. It was, and still remains, stunning.
Stanley Mises, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
an eyewitness account of some of the events in Lower Manhattan today.